Hello?
Henrik.
Yeah, can you hear me?
You bet.
It's great to be back on land so I can finally talk. I mean, last time I was out on a boat and...
Right.
Yeah, I'm just happy to get off the boat.
I think I caught maybe every other word, maybe one out of eight kind of thing last time we were talking. But where are we calling you today?
Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And by the way, I love your Twitter bio. You visited every country in the world by your 28th birthday. Most people on the planet won't even do that in their lifetime.
Less than 100 people, they say, has visited every country in the world. So by far, not many people have done that. So it's nice to have done, but I want to do more with my life than just this. So that's why it was good to finish in a young age, even though it took me around 3,000 days. So I did put a lot of effort into it.
Mm-hmm. And where did your journey begin? Like, what put you on the path to travel to every country on the planet?
I was afraid to travel. I was even afraid of traveling to America when I was very young, just by, I think, watching television.
Mm-hmm.
It can really scare you sometimes, and media and whatever. But I wanted to do 50 to start with, 50 safe countries, because I did love travel. I was just too afraid of going for, I guess, places that were too foreign for me, or that I wasn't too comfortable about visiting. But then I visited 50, and then I did 100, and then I thought, okay, I can go to places like Iraq, Yemen, I'll be fine, because as long as I have good local contacts, it should work out well.
Right. And I told my wife I was going to be talking with you today and explain what you're all about, and she goes, well, what is he made of, money? Like, how do you pull it off with the nonstop traveling? How do you do it?
Yeah, this is the number one asked question, I guess. But in the beginning, I stayed a lot with local people, and then I did that. Those are the top two tips for traveling, is stay with local people. You eliminate the number one expense when you travel, and the second tip is to use low-cost airlines, especially in Europe and Asia, and book a lot of tickets when they have promotions. That way you can really travel a lot on the cheap.
Mm-hmm. And in those 3,000-plus days of traveling, Henrik, in that time, have you ever felt like your life was in danger?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times. I guess when you drive on very dangerous roads in Africa, in the middle of nowhere, it felt scary at times. And then there was another situation in northeastern India, where I was have a border control within the same country,
mm-hmm.
To a special region called Sikkim. And I was hitchhiking back in the evening to the other part of India. And I was waiting there for long before getting a ride. So the guy at the border stopped the car and asked if he could take me. He could. But then he stopped after a few miles and took out a bottle of vodka. And he drank it all in almost one go. And then after this, there's really scary roads. So that was when I felt in danger. So there's been quite a number of good stories.
Yeah. And how do you tackle the language barrier?
That's not actually been such a big problem. Most people, most places you can get around with English. And in the places you can't, you can usually find someone that can speak at least a little bit of English. If you're completely lost, usually just learning a few words helps a lot. Like for the destination or where you're going,
right.
But you're not able to have that deep conversation with many people, only the ones that speak very good English. So language barrier is not something I would worry as much about if I was a young person that was worried about starting traveling the world.
Right. Okay. What's the most overrated place, do you think?
I don't really know. I have not thought much about that question, but one place I was not so impressed with is the Cape Verde Islands. I usually like many Caribbean islands, Pacific islands, but Cape Verde Islands in the Atlantic Ocean, I just didn't like the island of Sol. I only went to the island of Sol, and it was just full of tourists. There was not really much to do and see, and it just felt, not like a very pleasant. And there was street dogs, and it was not that clean. There was a lot of rubbish, and I didn't like Cape Verde Islands. It was one of the places I just couldn't wait to leave. The other place was Tuvalu, but it was expected. This is the most boring place on the planet, I think. The main island of Tuvalu. It's just like a small village. You're right.
I think I might have seen you tweet that I started laughing. Like, it's so good, man.
a few minutes, can see it all, and then, yeah, you can interact with locals, but still it is just so boring, and I don't know, it also doesn't feel that nice to be there, so it's just like, it was just a place that I couldn't wait to leave. There's been some travelers that just fly in and fly out after, I guess, an hour when the plane departs again, but I stayed 2 nights. It was pretty long 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And where is your favorite place on Earth?
Maybe here in South Africa. I really enjoy it. There's so much to do and see. But one thing that's very important for me and an interest that's grown over the years is food. So I would say Italy maybe is another one. New Zealand. Let's really have awesome, I mean, really high quality food in New Zealand. So that's another place. France, I mean, they have so much to do and see, and also it's just excellent food everywhere, even in small villages and things. So that's another thing I really appreciate. I can't say that I really enjoy that many countries out in the world for food. Mm-hmm. Most countries in the world, I'm not very impressed with the food, and in many places I have a hard time because I have been food poisoned several times, but in some of the experiences scared me so much that I'm a little bit afraid of trying local cuisine, especially in restaurants I don't know beforehand. So going into a local restaurant is something I never do anymore. It must be something I've checked, or there must be a lot of people in line or something that can make me convinced to do it.
Right.
So,
did anywhere surprise you? Break the stereotype of a country?
I would say the biggest surprise for me in my travels was Rwanda, just because of the genocide that happened there 23 years ago. You would think maybe it would be a dangerous country and not very well organized, corruption and all these kind of things. But it was the opposite experience. Very well organized country, I felt. Very good infrastructure. Taking a bus journey in the country, it's called the land. They call it the land of 1,000 hills. It's just so beautiful. I think it costs $5 to travel on the bus for several hours across the country, mm-hmm. Towards the DRC border. And it was just so beautiful. And just sitting there and looking out the window, not having to deal with pollution, with sand sometimes that comes in your face, some parts of Africa, because the road conditions were pretty good for Africa. That was really, really awesome. So just sitting and looking out the window and you take so many good photographs, that was really an awesome experience.
Cool. Is there something that you do in each and every country that you've visited, like go to a church or visit schools or whatever?
No, I try to go to a website called WikiTravel. I try to find out what is there to see, and then I try to see the things that I can within my budget. There are some things like, actually in Rwanda, I think seeing the gorillas would cost you maybe many hundreds of dollars, $800 or something just to see them. So there are certain things that I, in order to visit every country within my budget, couldn't do. But that's one of the things I usually do, is I try to see things that are free of charge. Mm-hmm. I try to see things that I can do within my budget. And also I take a photograph of my stamp in the countries that gives me a stamp. And that's usually a ritual I have, I was having when I arrived in a new country. Mm-hmm. What else? That's pretty much it. I mean, see and experience as much as you can, I guess, within your budget. And that's what I continue to do. My future travel would be a lot by car. I'd like to go places that that wasn't so easy to do when I was doing the every country thing.
Right. Now that you've done every country, if you had a month and unlimited funds, where would you go?
I would do what I'm going to do soon in Europe, and that is to drive by car to beautiful country hotels with excellent food. Most of them, I think, with Michelin-starred restaurants, so on that level. I think that's been some of my happiest moments is when I've eaten some of the best food in the world. So that is my next plan, and I think after so much hectic travel in the last many years, I do deserve this break. At least that's what I tell myself. I mean, I think I like adventure. I love adventure, but I also like the other part of it. I have also done something similar. You talk about a month. I spent two times 4 weeks in the Maldives. I've done 50 private island resorts in that country. That is really outstanding experiences as well. So I have done some of the things that I really wanted to do. What I really want to do onwards is really to continue to explore some of the great food out there. And it doesn't need to be expensive. I mean, there are many excellent restaurants in world-class restaurants in Italy You can dine for around $50. So it's not, it doesn't need to be out of possibilities for many travelers. It will be possible.
Right, Henrik. Outside of traveling and what you're known for, I have a few questions for you. What was your first concert?
My first concert was just a local band, I guess, when I was younger. I did not spend much time going to concerts and cultural events in my travels. Again, it's a money thing. Like, if you want to watch the Premier League match in the UK, it's probably $200 or $300. So that wouldn't be the best value for money. Instead, I did watch some really good, you're from Canada, so I should say soccer, which is the biggest sport in the world. In Lisbon, actually in Portugal, it's very, very cheap to watch soccer. So I got some good cultural experience with that. You're talking about concerts. Haven't watched that many, no. Local bands when I was younger.
Right. And as you're traveling, like, are you able to watch TV shows and jump on Netflix? And if so, what are you watching? What have you been binge watching lately?
Oh, I used to watch a lot of movies. I have watched thousands of movies in my life when I was younger, but nowadays there's just not enough time. I mean, right, we're doing this interview now, but my inbox is full of interview requests, and many days I'm behind with. And just getting up to date is a big challenge for me. It rarely happens. I'm constantly behind with something. But what I also learned about this project is that if you push yourself too hard, you can really go down. It can hit you hard. So I do try to take breaks. I usually try to go to YouTube and watch videos that is entertaining, but at the same time where I learn new things. But if I completely need to rest my mind, I love watching Impractical Jokers. That is probably my favorite show of all time.
Right.
Or anything with Sacha Baron Cohen. That would be the two things that I really enjoy.
He's limited
to those two things.
Right.
And there's just, I love watching his character Borat, not just the movie, because there's just not endless, but there's so many hours of interviews with this Borat character he did, just as funny or maybe funnier than the movie itself. So that's some of the things I enjoy if I need to relax. And what relaxes you more than a good laugh? I don't think there's much. So that's some of the things I spent my time on. But I want to know more about food. I love watching things with Gordon Ramsay. He's done so much. So
right,
that's really a big project in itself, just to try and watch some of his stuff.
Another guy for food, if you don't know him, is Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yes. Yes, oh, I know him very well. He's been mentioned many times.
Yeah.
People.
Last question for you. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
No, but I've researched this subject a lot. I have dealt with, let's say, when I was younger, I was quite afraid of death. I think I still am, but one of the things is to read about it, watch videos about it. So it's an interesting topic. I've not had one. I guess I could have easily had one. I've really put my life into the hands of other people for so many days. But no, I've not had one, but it's an interesting subject.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Your Twitter handle is @HenrikTravel. You're also on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That is, I don't have time for more social media, even though people talk so much about Snapchat and things. But I mean, I think even with free social media, it just still takes way too much time, because you also like to engage with people's comments, and it is, life is just getting more and more busy, it seems, every year. But I mean, what can you do?
Right. Well, thanks again for taking the time this morning, Henrik, and safe travels.